Be recorded. This conference is no longer being recorded. This conference will now be recorded.
I need to leave it alone.
Are you sure? This conference is out of control.
I have a digital recorder that's going anyway, so we've always got it backed up one way or another.
And if there are pros and cons, there can be one collective
two-minute rebuttal opportunity for the pro side and one for the con side. At that point, we go back to the TAC, and the TAC will then take action. The TAC has two things to consider. First, if it's submitted as an errata, does it meet the definition of errata, which means a list of errors on current and previous editions of the Florida Building Code? And if it does, then the recommendation to the commission is it meets the definition, and then to either recommend approval as submitted, approval as modified, or denial, if you don't think it's a good one, but it still meets the right definition. If it's submitted as a glitch, does it meet the criteria in statute for glitch amendments, which are, there are six, conflicts with the updated code, conflicts between the updated code and the Florida Fire Prevention Code, unintended results from the integration of previously adopted amendments with the model code, which is very specific, equivalency of standards, changes to or inconsistencies with federal or state law, or one that will not apply in this case, adoption of an updated edition of the national code that's needed for some specific important public health or safety or welfare reason. That won't come up because we don't have any for the electrical code. So that's really five criteria to consider. If it meets those, then you can make a recommendation to the commission that it meets the glitch criteria and to recommend approval as submitted, as modified, or denial. That's the simple perspective on that. If there's people who wish to speak to the public and they just want to say they support it, that works fine, just like we did in meetings. It's similar to raising your hands. You can just say your name, your representation, and you support it or you don't. There are some proposals that were submitted late. Anything submitted after November 1st, and in this case, there's two in front of this group. They will not be considered today. They'll be considered in meetings that will be held February 21st and 22nd for the purpose of taking up those additional comments that didn't meet the deadline but were submitted previously. That's the basic process. Does any TAC member have any questions regarding the process?
Jeff, I have a proposal for us. Can we consider item number one and that item number five at the same time?
Yeah, sure. I mean, when we get to those, sure. When we get to number one, we can talk about both of those together. It's not a problem.
Thank you, Mo.
Mm-hmm. So, Mo, if you'd like to go ahead and review, orient folks to the documentation, then turn it back to me, and we'll start with number one and five.
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Mo Madani. I have just 1 minute or two to go over just the reference material. And from your agenda, you will see there is from item number four, you can, there's a link which takes you to the, mainly the metrics, which has the cycle of glitch and error. This metric has everything we have received with regard to errors and glitches, and broken down by committee, and you see the agendas for the committee for, for the swimming pool group, as you see, there's the agenda, and also in the third column, you see that have a report which compiles all the letters and comments received by the deadline, November 3rd. Then on the fourth column, the glitch errata with comments, this report mainly include those glitches and comments received by the deadline and those received after the deadline, plus comments received on glitches and code change submitted. So the report that we'll be using for this meeting is the one that says with comments. That's what I have for you. Any comment, any question about what I've said? Otherwise, if no question, Jeff, go ahead.
Okay. We're going to start. I think Commissioner Baxter suggested that SWFBC B, Chapter 4, glitch number 1 from Michael Weinbaum, and glitch number 4 from Bob Benson are the same topic and should be considered together. So, I guess we can hear from both proponents, first from Michael and then from Bob, and then we can take public comment and then discuss how, what the best way to approach it would be. So, Michael, would you like to start? You have a 3-minute opportunity to present. Is Michael here?
Jeff, I can explain. He's not in here. I can explain the change just for information.
Okay, go ahead, Mo, and then we'll get here from Bob.
This is mainly with regard to Section 454.1.6, sanitary facilities. This is a change that took place under the 2023 code. The after the publication of the code, we discovered that there is a difference between what's in the plumbing code and what's in section 454.1.6.1. Those two sections were supposed to be similar and the difference we found out that really the section 454.1.6.1 is still referred to a urinal. So it says changing table, urinal, and a lavatory. Plumbing code doesn't have the word a urinal. And the intent was to not include, a urinal, mainly to make it consistent with the plumbing code. So this this is a glitch, and it's just was really to correct it to be consistent with the plumbing code. Thank you.
All right. So Bob, you have a proposal on the same in the same topical issue area, so maybe you could go ahead and take your 3 minutes, and of course you can discuss it in further detail when we get on the tag as a tag member. But as the presenter, you'll have your 3 minutes as well, and maybe, if possible, address whether there's a way to resolve any differences between the two that are on the table.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, basically, I agree with what Michael has done, Michael Weinbaum has done, and to match the section of the plumbing code, that's the critical element here, to get rid of the word urinal in the first presentation that he has. What I had done in mine was to create a table that would include urinals, but we don't have to include urinals. It's just the table in the code helps people not have to do the calculations, and it gets it correct, if you will, more easily. So that's why I was suggesting the table would be useful, and then for the additional fixtures, the underlined information below the table would be useful as well. Again, if we don't want urinals in the men's room, so be it. Not too concerned about that. So I suggested just the add the table and the additional information for additional fixtures, but certainly strike urinals from the 454.1.6.
Okay. Is there anybody from the public that would like to comment on either of these two proposals, either Michael Weinbaum's or Bob Benson's?
Dallas Thiessen, FSPA. FSPA is supportive of number one, of the striking of the urinal. FSPA did not support number five with the change in the table and the additional information. I feel like that's out of the scope of what this process is for. So we would support number one and ask the commission to deny number five. And I believe Mike Weinbaum is on now.
Yes.
I'm here.
Okay. Anybody else in the public wish to comment?
Yes, this is Erica Lundin with the New River County.
If we're going to strike the urinals, we would also need to update the table in the plumbing code. That was incorrect. Just update the table in 454 that was proposed, because that did have urinals.
Does anybody else in the public wish to comment? Michael, since you are on now, Mo did sort of speak about it, but if you want to go ahead and take your 3 minutes to talk about your proposal, you're welcome to do so before we go back to the TAC.
Hi. So my proposal was simply to eliminate the word urinal in the one place it appears, which I believe is in the plumbing code related to pools, and I believe that would eliminate the conflict entirely. The table that you guys are talking about will appear in both 454 and of the building code, and I believe 403 of the plumbing code, and it would just have the one row, and it would say it's not really a lookup table, it's just instructions for calculating your number in each row. The table that Bob is showing in his proposal, which has, you know, if your area is in this range, do this, if your area is in that range, this number, we could potentially prepare a table like that if there was a demand from the building officials that it would be significantly less confusing that way. But the table Bob prepared, not only does it have urinals, but because it has urinals, the potty parity is not being followed. So Bob's proposal, unfortunately, would need more work if that's the direction they wanted to go.
Okay. All right, well, I believe that's everybody from the public who wishes to speak. But I'll check one more time in case somebody else would like to speak at this time. All right, TAC members, you heard from both proponents, from Michael Weinbaum and Bob Vincent. You've heard of the differences between the two and potential options to solve part of the problem. I'll leave it to you for how you'd like to react with... First, I guess we'll take glitch number one, which is Michael Weinbaum's proposal. So the options are to say that it meets the glitch criteria if you agree that it does, and then to recommend to the commission to approve it as submitted, as modified, or deny. Then when it comes to Mr. Vincent's, it would be the same choices. I think if one meets the glitch, the other one meets the glitch as well. It doesn't mean you have to recommend approval, but I think we do have to at least acknowledge whether it meets the glitch in each case. So, with proposal number one, Mr. Weinbaum's, TAC members, what's your pleasure?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion, please, Jim Batts, I do believe it does meet the glitch criteria. I'd like to approve as submitted by Mr. Weinbaum.
All right. Is there a second?
John Waller seconds.
All right, with a motion and a second, which is to recommend to the commission that this comment meets the glitch criteria, and to approve it as submitted. Discussion on the motion.
This is Linda Patrick. I have a question and clarification, please.
Okay. Sure, go ahead, Linda.
So in the erratic glitch sheet that I printed out, there's also wording in blue that is not reflected. That has not been discussed in any of this conversation. What does the blue typing mean? It talks about diaper changing tables are not required in restrooms where all pools are restricted to adult use.
Which proposal was that has the blue typing in it?
That's glitch one.
All right.
Based on the documents that were forwarded to me.
So I believe all the language in the underline is proposed for approval, whether it's blue or red.
No, This is Paul Madani. The only thing before us is the removal of the word "general." The rest is already in the cut. So we're only just dealing with the word "general."
Okay.
I'd like to clarify that. Yet I've got the code online on another screen, and it does not have the verbiage in blue. It goes from the diaper changing table, a urinal, and a laboratory, then it contains the entry doors. So I'm just trying to clarify that the diaper changing tables are not required in restrooms. Is that new verbiage being added with the strikeout for the urinal?
Again, the only thing we're striking out is the word urinal. That's all.
So, Mo, you're saying that the other part of it was approved as part of the part of the 8th edition?
Yes, and regardless, it's not what we're not dealing with the rest of the text. The only thing we're dealing with is the removal of the word urinal. That's all what we're trying to do.
So that's the only thing that's on the table is that. The rest of it is, for whatever reason, underlined, maybe because it was from the previous proposal or something. But
don't confuse yourself with the rest of the text.
All right, so that answers your question. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on the motion, which is to recommend that that meets the glitch criteria and to approve it as submitted? All in favor say aye.
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 Are there any opposed?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so we have two opposed. And what do we have right now? We're at 7 members. Correct. 7 members.
Yes, I believe that Mr. LaPetri might have joined.
Jim, are you on the phone here?
I'm on the phone. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay, so please mark caller 8 as Jim LaPetri. So we do have all 8 members present, and what that means is that a 6-2 vote would pass, and a 5-3 vote would fail. Two people have indicated that they're not supporting it, which is Bob Vincent and Joe Robinson. Is there anybody else who's opposed to this? All right, then the motion passes on a 6-2 vote. Approval submitted. All right, now we're going to Bob Vincent's. We've discussed it already and taken public comment. I think, you know, for consistency's sake, at least need to find that it's a glitch amendment and then make a recommendation to the commission on how you want to do it. I suppose it would be, it meets the glitch criteria, and the recommendation would be for denial if you didn't want that and you wanted what you voted for previously. That's up to you as a TAC.
Jeff, I'd like to make a motion, Jim Batts. I'd like to make a motion that does meet the glitch criteria, but I'd like to deny it.
LaPetri, I'll second.
All right. We have a motion and a second to recommend the commission that the comment does meet the glitch, but the tax recommendation is for denial.
Can I just withdraw it, Jeff?
If you'd like, you can. Since we haven't acted on it, that's certainly your prerogative. If you do withdraw it, though, it's off the table. And if you have any thoughts about trying to do anything in, you know, before the commission meeting, that would be no longer possible. Well, it would be possible because you could use Michael Weinbaum's, I suppose, to do it on. So
that's fine. Just withdraw that one.
Okay. Let the record reflect that on number 5, which is glitch number 4, the proponent, Bob Vincent, has withdrawn the comment. Okay. We're now up to SWFBC Chapter 4, glitch number 2. Jim, you can have your 3 minutes now, and of course you can discuss it as you feel during the meeting, as a TAC member once you get back to the TAC after public comment. But we'll start with you. Go ahead, Jim.
All right, thank you. We had proposed, based on some comment at one of the past TAC meetings, that where these sun shelf transition steps and the depth exceeds 5 feet at the bottom of the step set, that we add depth and no dive markers along the sun shelf edge. And that was SW 10-1019, and somehow it got changed to sun shelf must have the same markings at the edge of the bench. And I thought my mod had been approved as written, and all of a sudden it got totally changed. So I don't know what happened. I would like to see my original modification language put back into the code.
I can explain what happens if everybody wants to. Jim, can you share the screen? And I'll explain to you what I'm... What's that? I'm asking Jim to share the screen.
So before you do that, Mo, why don't we finish up on public comment? Since Jim's on the tack, we can have a,
you have
a discussion.
Fine.
Anybody else in the public who wishes to comment on this?
I don't know what Mo's going to say, but this is Dallas Teason of FSBA, but I assume...
Well, if you'd rather wait till Mo, I can do the public comment after. I have no issue with that.
Sure, I believe what I'm going to say is probably going to be covered by Mo, so I'll just go to hold off until after. Is this okay?
Sure, okay. Go ahead, Mo. We'll do that. You do you first, then we'll take public comment.
Yeah, reviewing the proceedings for when we did the code changes, we did approve a code change, SW10190, which revised item number 3 of the section where we added where the depth at the bottom of the step exceeds 5 feet, depth and no dive markers shall be installed along the sun shelf edge in accordance with 454.1.2.8.2. And at the same time, we also, another code change was approved, which is mainly added except where the entire sun shelf transitions to step, where the depth at the bottom of the step can exceed 4 feet. So when we did the, so both were approved, so when we did the, put together the code change, we put the code change based on these two approvals. Now, what was the intended at that was intended at that time and all that? If somebody could misunderstood what happened, but that's why you see this section the way it is now. I just want to explain the background behind it.
Okay. All right. I think Dallas from the public, you'd like to speak now.
Yes, Dallas Teason, FSPA. I also like to point out too that the benchmarking language came from adopted proposed modification SW9858 by Mr. Weinbaum, and that was approved as submitted at the first TAC meetings following closing the proposal submissions, and that does contain the language of bench edge markings there. So that was approved as submitted. I wanted to point that out just for clarity.
Okay, does anybody else in the public wish to comment?
Yes, this is Terry Marsh from the DOH. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, the definition on the code section for the bench does give the designer an option to use a bullnose tile, which only on the horizontal area has a 3/8 visual area. And it is my opinion that when using it on a sun shelf with a drop-off, that would not be a significant warning to any bather that there's a drop-off. The other part of the bench code does say a 2-inch horizontal and a 2-inch vertical, but it does give the designer the option of the bullnose tile. That's my comment. Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody else in the public wish to speak on this proposal, I guess either in favor or in opposition, but let me know which it is. Okay. Then we can come back to the TAC. Jim, if you want to start off, feel free.
I just want to say, I don't know how this sausage really works because this has nothing to do with bench edge marking. The idea is, it was suggested by Bob, and I thought it was a great idea. Let's put depth markers and no dive markers on the sun shelf if the steps transition to a depth that's greater than 5 feet. That's pretty straightforward. And then we refer back to 454.1.2.8.2 is where sun shelf transitions to steps, and the edge of the sun shelf will have markings that comply with the step section. So I don't understand the confusion here at all.
Okay, so but your comment then is to in essence restore it to the original language that you had proposed, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Further discussion, clarifications, and or a motion from the TAC?
I'd like to just add, this is Bob Vincent, that this is a drop-off of 3.5 feet. And we had had larger edge markers on the sun shell for the children that would play on this 8-inch deep to 12-inch deep area. And now, as Mr. Marsh pointed out, we've got a 3/4 or 3/8 inch full nose tile on the horizontal. Hard to see on a windy day, hard to see on a gloomy day. That's why we had the original step edge marker or the sun shelf edge markers wide. So we've created a greater safety hazard for pool patrons, and so I'll leave it at that.
Okay. TAC members, what's your pleasure regarding this? Does it meet college criteria? And
this is LaPetri. I'll follow back up on that.
Of course, you're okay. TAC member, go ahead.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with the drop-off of the sun shell. This is about sun shell, the transition to step. So any sun shell that does not transition to step will still be held to that those same criteria that are in the code. So I'm not sure, again, I don't understand the confusion here.
All right. Does anybody wish to make a motion or further discussion? TAC members.
Perhaps a code interpretation would be necessary then, because as I read this, it's addressing the edge of the sun shelf marker without steps or with steps. And steps, of course, have the nose markers. Steps are not a problem for us in the health industry. Combining it here appears to me to say that at your 3.5 foot drop off of a sun shelf, you can have a the same edge marker as a bench, which is can be bullnose tile.
So, TAC members, the question at hand is: does this meet the glitch criteria? And if so, would you recommend it as submitted, as modified, or for denial? That's what we need to kind of get to here.
Jeff, I have a question for you, Jim Batts. So, it sounds like what Jim LaPetri's talking about is that what he submitted is not what ended up coming into the code. And that what Mo is saying was he took two different items that were approved and tried to combine them into one. That's kind of what I'm hearing. Is that correct?
That's true. And you guys approved both code changes for the same item. And the change mainly consisted of changing two items within the section. So it fits fine. Well, it seems you intended to approve both, and that's what you did. Now, did you create a conflict when you did that? That's really where you need to tell us is by what you did, have you created a glitch, meaning there is a conflict within this section. If there is no conflict, if you don't think, then it's not a glitch.
All right, so I guess if it meets, in this case, and Justin, feel free to weigh in, you'd be talking about item number one, which is conflicts within the updated code, as if that's the basis for determining whether it's a glitch. The other one certainly wouldn't apply. So, folks, that's the question before you. First is the question, is it a glitch? Does it meet the glitch criteria? One of those five, in this case, potentially, that would apply. And if so, then what would you recommend? Approval as modified, or denial?
So, Jim Bass, I have another question. So, if we gave it as a glitch, and we want to go back, and I would propose to go back to Jim LaPetri's comments and what we approved in that one, how would we then do away with the second half that was approved under the same unit, or what?
This is Mark McDonough. Somebody in the glitch proposal submitted a change they would like to do, which is to remove a sunshelf must have the same marking at the edge as a bench. This is one of the changes that you guys approved. So if you feel that's a glitch, and it seems that because you approve both, then you go with removing a sunshelf must have the same marking at the edge as a bench. That's what's being proposed here to resolve the glitch, if it's really you feel it's a glitch. And then
that's that 3/8 inch tile on a horizontal surface, correct?
Yeah.
I think the issue is, does it actually create a conflict within the updated code? That's what meets the glitch, criteria and statute. That's what you have to. If you think, oh yeah, that's a conflict, then that might be your basis. If not, then maybe it isn't. Maybe it's something else. Something you have to. Maybe Justin might want to weigh in on this as well.
Jeff, I don't really have anything to weigh in on. I mean, you and Mo have laid it out. They just need to determine whether it's a glitch, whether there's a conflict, essentially. It seems like that's the criterion that would be most applicable here, and if so, resolve how they want to resolve it.
Right. Okay.
Jim LaPetri, what is your thought on this after hearing this?
Again, I really don't know what happened. I'll say this, my code only applies to a sunshelf that transitions to steps, period, paragraph. If we adopt the language as I originally wrote in the mod and get rid of this language in the code right now about a bench, then the conflict goes away. And I think that would ameliorate any issues that the health department has with edge markings of a sunshelf, because we already have that covered in another part of the code.
That sounds like that should be a motion.
I'm
sure it's open when the public comment was open. May I be recognized?
Well, I mean, you had your opportunity.
I'm sorry.
Chairman, would you like to provide, allow a comment, an extra comment?
Yes, I'd like to hear a comment from Michael Weinberg.
Thank you, Jim. So if the sentence that Jim wants to strike is struck, as I read it, there's no requirement to mark the edge of a sunshelf at all. So in the 2020 code, we had a much longer statement about marking a sunshelf. Then that statement got truncated to it must have the same markings as a bench. And then if you remove the statement entirely, you won't have anything. And then my recollection is that there was the first meeting, the code proposal 9858, which has this phrase, the same markings as a bench, deleting a longer statement requiring more markings, that was approved. And it was in a second meeting where Gerald's statement that, hey, that allows only 3/4 of an inch on the bench edge, and that was a concern, but I don't think it was resolved. I didn't, when I proposed the same marking as a bench, I did not have in mind that that would allow only 3/4 of an inch of horizontal dimension. So perhaps if I had it to do again, I would say the same markings as a bench, except bullnose tile must also be 2 inches in each dimension.
Okay.
So Linda Patrick, please.
Go ahead, Linda.
Good afternoon. So this section is under 454.1.2.6 obstructions. That's subsection 3 under the exception. When you go to the sunshelf construction itself under 454.1.2.8, it refers to depth markers under the point 2 and refers you back to section 454.1.2.3.1. So there are criteria as far as the markers. Now, saying all that, is there a way we can table this glitch until the next meeting to really take a better look at what it all means and what was the intent?
No, we cannot table anything at this point.
Okay. I'm just asking. I'm new, so
I
have my parameters.
Jim Batts. Yes, I'd like to make a motion that this is a glitch, to proceed with the and make the change to the proposal made by Jim LaPetri. It should put it back in what we put.
Alright, so your recommendation to the commission is that this is a glitch and that to approve it as submitted.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second?
Linda Patrick, I'll second if we can amend it to reference that the second earlier glitch that added the verbiage is voided out.
Well, it becomes voided out because this becomes the new language, but right, Mo?
We're not doing code changes here.
I
understand. Very, very, very narrow window here. What we need to do is whatever submitted now, you know, which is mainly to remove text, if that's the same, to understand there's a conflict, so.
All right, so Commissioner Batts made a motion. We still don't actually have a second.
Linda Patrick, I'll second it.
All right, so the motion is to recommend the commission that this does meet the glitch criteria and to approve it as submitted. Is there any further discussion on the motion?
And what will the final result be as approved as submitted?
Striking the sunshelf must have the same markings at the edge as the bench.
Okay. And just so it's clear, Linda, the instructions deal with the original edge markings, the instruction section under number 3 for sunshelves, but in 1.2.8, those depth markers are the true depth markers. They're not an edge marker. They're the depth markers that are every 10 feet apart now.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is there any further discussion on the motion? All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Yes.
Gerald's opposed. Anybody else?
I believe this will leave us with no edge markers along the sunshelf, so I'll just say no.
All right. The vote then is 6-2 in favor, so it passes. Okay, let's move on to the next one, which would be you, Bob. It's SWFBCB, Chapter 4, Glitch Number 3. Bob, then Bob.
Okay.
I'll give you 3 minutes, and we'll come back, and of course you can talk as needed during the TAC meeting.
Bye. So we've got some new allowable furniture at the zero depth entry areas, or the sun shelves, and the language didn't really give us
much ability. We say acceptable to the Department of Health, and I'd kind of like to narrow that down, if we could, by adding the underlined words, the access and cleaning plan and accesses, so that people can walk across the sun shelf or the zero depth entry area and get into the pool. And then only on the sun shelf or zero depth entry in a pool would designate just those two areas. And then if we could add a little more information, that furniture shall never be placed on or over or obstruct the view or function of any safety markings, which could include depth markers and edge markers, or the treated water inlet returns. Those are the three things we want people to not obstruct when they put the furniture on there. So those few words that I've added there in underlining would create a workable plan for us to implement as an operational criteria. You know, none of this is construction. It's all operational.
Hey, Jeff, this is Ma. I need to say something here.
Then go ahead.
Item number, the items that Bob is trying to revise, 454.1.2.6, item number 4 doesn't exist in the code. So, you know, I'm not sure why we're revising something that doesn't exist in the code.
Well, that's my error then.
So
I had seen that in the draft language and thought that it needed to be further clarified.
No, it's not in the code at this point.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
It's not in the code.
Most of the language that Bob is modifying isn't actually in the 8th edition of the building code. He must be talking. He's speaking to somebody else, I think. Okay, Bob?
So how do we deal with it? It's just not considered code, so it's not a glitch or a rata, is it?
No, yeah, it's not. It's nothing. It's move on.
All right, put that down as a good idea for the future.
Do you want to withdraw this as one of these then, Bob?
Does it need to be withdrawn? Bo's saying it's not legal anyway.
Well, I think it should be withdrawn because I think that would be...
I think if it's not, let's not withdraw it. Maybe Bob can go back and look at it some more. But at this point,
I don't.
Looking at the code and cutting the
code.
Okay, excuse me, Mr. Could you mute Mr. Mora?
Yeah.
He's talking to somebody else.
Is it too?
Jim? Thank you. Okay,
I can withdraw if that's the better way to go, withdraw.
Whatever you want to do, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I think it needs to at least have something to give the commission, whether it's, you could say it's not a glitch and deny it or withdraw it, whatever you want to do. But
yeah, it's fine, Bob, whatever you want.
What's your preference, Bob?
Withdraw it.
All right, yeah. Glitch number 3 is withdrawn. All right, next is SWFBCB, Chapter 4, errata number 1. Bob.
This one is simply getting rid of the date that the pool signs needed to be changed. Not necessary now. They've all been changed.
Okay. Anybody from the public wish to speak on this? Back members? Is there an errata and do you want to approve it as submitted? Bob, you can make a motion if you like.
I have moved that it be approved as submitted.
Linda Patrick, I'll second.
Motion and a second that it meets the definition of errata and to approve as submitted. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? That would be unanimous. Okay, next is SWFBCB Chapter 4, glitch number 5, which we already know, we didn't do that. Glitch number 5 by Bob Benson. Bob?
So, these signs have been our nemesis for a while because throughout the code we have in all of the markers feet and inches. And unless it's an even number of feet, you know, 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet, we need to add inches to signs because the sign companies put in there a space for feet. And then we get to the pool and the contractor has written on there 3.4 feet or 5.6 feet. So please add inches to these sign requirements.
All right. Anybody from the public wish to comment?
Yes.
Go ahead, Michael.
I agree with Bob that, that this is a glitch that's causing confusion, and that we would have meant to put in just because that's what we did elsewhere in the code.
Anybody else in the public wish to speak in support?
Yes, Scott McAdam, BOAF, support.
All right. Anybody else from the public in support? Anybody in the public in opposition? Okay, then we'll come back to the TAC for your actions.
Jeff, this is Dustin. I just thought I'd note that I think you said that we were on glitch 5. I think we're actually on glitch 4, and Jim is he's got the thing on glitch 5. I think that was handled at the same time as the first one, Mr. Weinbaum.
Yeah, it was withdrawn.
Yeah, number 4 was.
Number 5 was.
Number 5. We're looking at number 4 now. We should be.
I move it be accepted as submitted.
Linda Patrick, second
that. All right, we have a motion and a second that it meets the definition or the criteria for glitch and to approve as submitted. Okay. Let me just see one quick thing here. All right, this is you're saying that it's in this thing it's marked as glitch number 4.
What Bob was talking about is number 4.
Right, okay.
Is it 4B? Is it 4B, Jeff? That's what I'm looking at, right? 4B?
It's
glitch number 4. The prior one with the January 1st date was an errata that was part of 4.
Right, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just there's different markings. Mine are marked a little differently in terms of which number it is, but yes, it's number 4 according to this. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve as submitted as a glitch. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That would be unanimous. Okay, the next is SWFBC Chapter 4, also submitted by Bob. And
so, in zero depth entry areas,
which not?
The code
number six.
Okay, glitch number 6. That's what I have as well. So, kind of what happened to the other one. Okay, go ahead, Bob. This is the one. You have 18 inches, 4 inches of millimeters.
Right. So in the 0.1965, you ensured that an hour turnover in this area was necessary. And then in the 1966, it's not clear that the 965 and 966 are
identical, if you will. So I've added words to 1966 that make it perfectly clear that in the 0 to 18 inches, it's 1 hour turnover, and from 18 to 36 inches, it's 2 hours turnover. This would be helpful to design engineers. We're seeing a lot of out-of-state people these days. It might be helpful to Florida design engineers. We've had a couple of errors made in this that have cost a lot of money to fix.
Okay. Does anybody from the public wish to speak in support? Anybody wish to speak in opposition?
Hi. I'm going to speak in opposition, but my opposition is kind of soft. I don't know that this is a glitch. If you take these two parts of the code, .6.5 and .6.6 together, Bob is right that there's a requirement that the first part have 1 hour turnover, the next part has 2 hour turnover, and the part after that has a 6 hour turnover. So that's three turnover requirements. And then it's only mentioned that two of those need a calculation. So that's an omission, I guess. That's kind of not explained. It is confusing because as you're going through the code, you might expect it to say, here's the requirement to do a calculation. You might expect it to say it three times, but it doesn't. So that is a confusion. I'm not opposed to doing the three calculations. I'm just wondering if it's really a glitch.
I'm sorry.
We'll get back to that. I want to finish the public comment. Anybody else from the public wish to speak in opposition to it?
Dallas Keyson, FSBA. We would oppose this. We don't believe it meets the criteria of a glitch. The proper place to fix this would be through the code amendment process.
Okay. Anybody else from the public wish to speak in opposition? Okay, since nobody spoke in support, then I'm going to come back to the TAC. Okay, Bob, go ahead.
Well, I believe it has two of the criteria. It conflicts with the updated code, and it's an equivalency of standards. It's not clear how it's written, and this clarifies that equivalency. And it conflicts if you look at them through a perspective of only having to make one calculation.
Okay. All right, so TAC members, does it meet the glitch criteria, and do you want to recommend approval as submitted, as modified, or denial? Bob, you're always free to make a motion as well.
Oh, I move to approve as submitted.
Is there a second?
Second, Gerald Robinson.
All right, we have a motion and a second that recommend to the commission that it meets the glitch criteria and to approve it as submitted. Is there a discussion on the motion, TAC members? All right, all in favor, say aye.
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 Are there any opposed?
Jim Bass.
Jordan Clarkson.
All right, then the vote is 6-2 in favor. It passes. Okay, the next one is SWFBCB Chapter 4, glitch number 7.
So we had a court case in 2022, and the administrative law judge deemed that the float tanks are not special purpose pools because they are not supervised. These Epsom salt float tanks quite often are used by individuals that without bathing suits on, so they don't supervise them. Yet we had called them special purpose pools before, but what has happened now is with the resistance pool definition that we put into this code, you simply cured that by saying with or without supervision. And I think it would be wise to do that here, because then we could have, call it a special purpose pool with or without supervision, and we can eliminate or deviate from the code like we do with the resistance pools and other special purpose pools. It would be a benefit to everyone, regulatory and the industry.
Okay. Does anybody from the public wish to speak in support of the comment?
Yes, Jeff. Scott McAdam, BOAF, in support.
Okay. Anybody else wish to speak in support? Is there anybody from the public that would wish to speak in opposition? Okay. Then I'm going to come back to the TAC for your action.
Jeff, this is Justin. I have a question for Mr. Vincent,
sure.
Perhaps the TAC in general. So this language about it being with or without supervision, is that already present in the definition for special purpose pool? Is that what I heard Mr. Vincent say?
No, in fact, the definition of a special purpose pool says that you must be supervised.
Right, that's what I thought, so I was confused when I heard you say it. I did read the recommended order that you referenced, and frankly, I had sort of questions about whether this would actually qualify as a glitch as being, you know, conflicting with sort of state law. There was an interpretation of the code, obviously, by the administrative law judge, but I don't know that there was a law that was conflicting, per se. And also, as far as I understand, the sequencing of the definition of like the Epsom salt flow tank, I believe that definition didn't exist at the time that the ALJ provided that recommended order, correct?
The ALJ said we needed to better define it.
Yeah, and so, by adding the definition for Epsom salt flow tank, which specifically defines it as a special purpose pool, I took that to be sort of, you know, saying that there's sufficient supervision that would qualify it to be a special purpose pool. I think that with the benefit of the definition that was inserted into the code, that would probably change the ALJ's analysis of the question to begin with. And so My comments after reviewing this were just that I didn't think that this qualified as a glitch, and I suspect that by adding this definition already that the commission and, you know, the TAC would have already sort of moved the needle as far as the legal interpretation that Mr. Vincent is concerned about.
Okay. All right, TAC members, what's your pleasure? You heard from Justin in terms of his opinion regarding whether it meets the glitch criteria. The question you have is to recommend whether it does, and if so, what your motion is, or if it doesn't, what your motion is.
Jeff, I'd like to make a motion, Jim Batts, that this does not meet the glitch criteria and leave it as is.
So to deny it?
Yes.
The motion is to that does not meet the glitch and to recommend to the commission denial. Is there a second?
Linda Patrick, I'll second.
Okay.
So,
go ahead, Bob.
May I add, we have this same phrase, with or without supervision, in the next definition that was added for the resistance pools. And, of course, the definition in the building code says that a special purpose pool means a pool used exclusively for a specific supervised purpose, including
springboard diving, scuba diving, aquatic programs for persons with disabilities, preschool and kindergarten children. All of those are supervised. The Epsom salt float tanks are not supervised, nor will be the resistance pools, the circular resistance pool that we just put in the code this year. So I was trying to make it so, and I agree with you, it doesn't conflict with the law. It conflicts with a court judgment. So I was hoping that that could be sufficient to place it into the same category as the resistance pool.
Okay, further discussion on the motion. All right, hearing no additional discussion, all in favor of the motion, which is to recommend to the commission this is not a glitch and for denial, please say aye.
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 All opposed? Who's opposed?
Aye.
Bob? Anybody else? Opposed. All right, so if that's the case, then the vote is 7-1, and it passes. Okay, next is SWFBCB, Chapter 4, Glitch Number 8, also by Bob Vincent Powell.
So this one has a few problems with it, and I've tried to spell those out both ahead of changes that I've proposed and after changes I've proposed. The standard that we use is the NSF standard. It has definition for supplemental and secondary. Only secondary disinfection by UV or ozone can kill Cryptosporidium, which, as you know, is a protozoan that's put there by children defecating in the splash pads. This is the only pool that we require UV in, splash pads. We've had this in the code for 6 years, and now it's being weakened to put the supplemental in there as a adequate treatment. Supplemental UV does not kill Giardia or Cryptosporidium with a 3-log reduction, the 99.9%. It's the supplemental ones that are recommended here or allowed here kill only bacteria. And we can kill bacteria with chlorine. We don't need UV to kill bacteria. All of the bacteria and all the viruses that are in the pools are killed within 3 minutes of a standard 1 part per million chlorine. Cryptosporidium is not killed by chlorine. So that's why these need to be secondary. So I modified the wording in the code. I've given you definitions that we could use in the code if that is still necessary. And those are directly from the NSF standard that the code references.
Thanks, Shooter.
Okay. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak in support of the comment? Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak in opposition to the comment? All right, go ahead, Michael.
Michael Weinbaum, the text that we're looking at in 454.1.9.8.6.2 was mostly written by Jim LaPetri. It was an attempt to clarify what was already in the code. It was an attempt to clarify a handout that somebody at DOH had made depicting three possible options. And two of those options always had a not quite as good type of UV. We were just calling those NSF 50 UVs back then, but then we added this word supplemental, which was added to the NSF 50 sometime later. described is kind of not quite as good what Bob's talking about. You know, only rated to kill bacteria, might kill crypto, hasn't been proven with a rigorous specific test. And then the idea was that if you wanted to use one of these less expensive, less proven type of UV systems, that you had to have the water pass through a filter first. And the filter would catch some, but probably not all, how much log, who knows, but definitely some of the crypto. And with these two things together, that would be acceptable. That was the principle behind the 2020 code. That was the principle, of course, Mr. LaPietra could speak for himself, but I understood it at the time. That's what he was trying to do as well. If Bob's proposal was approved and the word secondary was swapped out for supplemental in options one and two, options one and two basically aren't really options anymore. You're using the same, more expensive type of UV, and on option three, you don't have to add a filter in front of it, but in options one and two, you do. So you're just going to take option three every time. It's like a freebie. All that said, it may be, there are people who know the NSF better than I do, and Bob is one of them. It may be that his comments on 454.1.6.5.16.6, those may indeed be needful and a glitch. But his modification of the option one and option two from supplemental to secondary was exactly against my recollection of what the board had approved.
Okay. Anybody else in the public wish to speak in opposition to the comments?
Yes. Dallas Keyson, Florida Swimming Pool Association. We're opposed to this. We don't believe this meets the. This is not a glitch. What Mr. is proposing here is in direct opposition to what the TAC and Commission approved previously. So this is not a glitch. This is an attempt to substantively change the code, which probably belongs in the code modification process.
Okay. Anybody else from the public wish to speak in opposition? All right, then we'll come back to the TAC for your decision regarding whether it meets the definition and whether you want to recommend approval as submitted, as modified, or denial, TAC members.
Jeff, Jim Pass, I'd like to make a motion that this does not meet the glitch criteria and recommend denial.
All right. Is there a second?
Linda Patrick, I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to recommend to the commission that this does not meet the glitch criteria and to recommend denial. Discussion and a motion.
If you don't include the issues here that I've presented, you are in conflict with the standard that you have adopted. You are, therefore, in conflict with the code. And so that's a mistake. And if you allow these supplemental systems to replace secondary systems or better ones, you will have illnesses, cryptosporidium illnesses in your children that use these splash pads. There will be no way to stop the cryptosporidium. And the reason I say that is it takes 20 parts per million in a pool when a fecal accident happens, 20 parts per million for 12 hours of exposure to the chlorine. You have to close the pool. You have to kill chlorine, kill cryptosporidium with 20 parts per million for 12 hours. UV will kill 99.9%, and the supplemental one doesn't do that. Only the secondary does that. Or the better ones that are made for drinking water systems. These are multiple passes, and just to give you one more number, fecal accident has 10 million cryptosporidium cysts in it. That's 7 logs. So a single pass kills 3 logs. So you have to pass the water through 3 times to kill all of those cryptosporidium cysts. and that will take over an hour and a half, actually, because it's a half-hour turnover. And it is conflicting with your standard that you've adopted.
Jeff, I'd like to ask Jim LaPetri a question. Jim, if Michael said that you would want to propose this originally, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, he and I kind of worked together. All I did, as Michael said, was reacting to some very confusing code in the previous edition of the code. As Michael said, we were provided with some PowerPoint presentations with schematic diagrams. All I did was try to clarify that. And there were two options that had NSF50 systems and one that had a third-party UPA certification. I don't know enough about the nuances of the NSF standard and the USGA standard. That's all I was trying to do. So I don't understand the confusion. Because no one in the industry understood the code as it was written at the time.
But we saw that in all of those cases.
So, question. So, the option 4 under 5.16.6, which allows for those systems not certified, and then you go to the other options under 8.6.2, you don't think those options as printed for supplemental, not secondary, would meet the criteria of the health and safety?
Are you asking me?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
They will not meet it. This will not meet health health requirements that we've had for 6 years in the code now. It would be a lessening of the code. Less healthy.
All right. Further discussion on the motion, which is to recommend denial. All right. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say aye. Okay, so I heard Bob and Gerald in opposition. Is there any other TAC member in opposition? Linda is. Anybody else? All right, so that vote then is three.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that vote wouldn't pass because it didn't have enough positive votes.
Yes, I realize that. Who said that?
Gerald Robinson.
Yes, I was sorry. I was just about to explain that vote did not pass because it missed it by one vote.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve as written.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second that this meets the glitch criterion to approve as submitted. Is there any discussion on that motion? All right. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. I'm going to do it by name. Bob, yes or no?
Aye, yes.
All right. Sorry, give me 1 second here. I got to put this in the right spot. Okay. Commissioner Batts, yes or no?
No.
Gordon Clarkson, yes or no?
No on the glitch requirement, meaning glitch requirement.
All right. Jack Morrell, yes or no?
No.
Jim LaPetri, yes or no?
No.
Linda Patrick, yes or no?
No, not on the glitch.
All right. Gerald, yes or no?
Yes.
And John, yes or no?
No on the glitch requirement.
All right, so 6-2, so that fails as well. So in essence, it defaults back to what's in there right now.
Can we look at modifying it somewhat?
if you had some proposal that you could articulate pretty quickly, sure.
It wouldn't be quick.
You mean it's something you need to spend time working on, or it's something you could, you're talking about trying to do it right here or now, or what?
Yes, that's what I was thinking. The way I've suggested the changes to 16.6 would cover the use of secondary or supplemental in 6.2. So what it would require, though, is a device that could meet secondary at Let's just move on.
Alright, I mean you can get with Mo about what the options are for, you know, between now and the next period of time. But okay, let's move on. Okay, and we'll move on to our next one, which is SWF BCB, Chapter 4, errata number 2. Mo, hey, we have an easy one.
This is Mo Madani, and really it's mostly, you know, it's a editorial correcting spelling here for the word supplemental. That's an errata.
Okay. Anybody to the public wish to speak in support? Anybody in opposition? All right, chapter member, let's get our motion, please.
Linda Patrick, I'll make a motion to accept errata number 2 as noted.
Thanks for a second.
John Waller, second.
Motion and a second that it meets the definition of errata and to approve it as submitted. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Unanimous. All right, and our last one is SWFBCB, Chapter 4, Errata Number 3. Mo.
Yeah, same thing. This is an editorial just fixing the spelling of oxidizing.
Any public comment? Going back to the tech, is there a motion, please?
Linda Patrick, I'll make the motion to accept Errata Number 3 as noted.
For a second.
Second.
Linda Patrick and Commissioner Batts on the motion. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? As submitted. The other two will need to be taken up in the February 21st and 2nd meeting, as I mentioned, since they did not meet the deadline of November 1st. That is completes this recommendation on that issue. Is there any other public comment, general public comment? All right, Commissioner Bass, I will turn it to you, sir, to adjourn us.
Thank you, Jeff. I want to thank everybody for joining our meeting today. With no further business for the TAC, I'll adjourn this meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
This conference is